Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about company culture. Is that right? That's not right. That's an outtake. I can't find the right mouse.
There's a first world problem.
Help!
I can't find the right mouse.
I can't find the right mouse. I have four screens and two mice.
Too many peripherals.
Too many peripherals. That's actually the name of this episode, Too Many Peripherals. No, that's the other podcast. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 11, and it's part two of Nailing It with Blogging and Social Media.
Nailed it. Nailing it.
So last week we talked about social media channels and how to understand what's the right channel for you and a little bit about how to use those channels. So this week we're going to be talking more about whichever channel you're using, what are some ways to really make that channel work for you.
So okay. Last time we talked about nailing it
with blogging and social media. So this is part two. We talked about a lot of different social media channels and deciding which one you want to use. So whichever social media you chose, and one that we didn't actually talk about last week, is you could also choose to create a podcast like we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. But a video log.
A vlog. Actually, though, you know what's funny is that they're calling it less a vlog and more now video podcasting. Mm. Well, there are still vlogs, but I won't get into that differentiation.
So many of the companies that we work with will create a website or help them support their social media push, and they take the approach that they want to use all of the channels and will share with them that that's not necessarily in their best interests. Mm-hmm. It's important that they're selecting the right channels and putting the right effort in place so that they're actually talking to the people that they intend to talk to.
Yeah. And something that's really common with any of these, whether you're doing traditional social media like Twitter or LinkedIn, or whether you're blogging or creating a podcast, there's a really high amount of burnout that happens. Mm-hmm. Where you will do it for something like a month, and then you get burned out and you stop posting new content. And so anything that we can do to try to keep that at a low, steady rate instead of burning out is always good. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I want to talk about social media overall philosophy, because this is in my mind one of the most important things about nailing social media, is the concept of give, take. So the concept of give, take says that if you want to master social media, if you want people to want to follow you and want to hear what you have to say, you have to give at least twice before you take. And what that means is you should be posting things that are funny, things that are interesting, things that are of value to them without regard to your services and your business. If everything that you post is a direct advertisement, people are going to hear that as noise and they aren't going to want you in their feed. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is create so much value for people that they want to follow you, they want to hear what you have to say, and then when you do post those self-promotional things, they want to hear it because they value your service. They start to have a perception of value to you, as opposed to if they feel like you're just constantly yammering away in their feed about buy my thing, then they don't want any part of that.
Yammer is something different altogether.
Yammer is a separate social media network.
So there was a study that was done a while back that talked about the number of touches that you have to make in order to pull in a sale. And the vast majority of sales involved 11 or more touches. Mm-hmm. In order to actually pull in that sale. Mm-hmm. The neat thing with social media is that that helps provide those touches without having to physically cold call or visit or spend a huge amount of time with. Every time that you're interacting, even on social media, that is progressing the conversation to some extent.
Yep.
And so you want to make sure that in the give-give-take relationship, you are giving more than you're taking.
Absolutely. Because the interesting thing here is it would be easy to say, well, if all I need is 11 touches, I'll just post my ad over and over again. But the truth is, if a social media user sees you in their feed advertising, self-promoting, by the time they get to the third or fourth time that they see a self-promotion with nothing else in between, they're going to remove you from their feed and probably walk away with a negative impression of you. So this is a place where if you do it wrong, you can actually do yourself harm.
You're making the number of touches that it takes much, much bigger.
Absolutely. So whereas if they read a really interesting article that you posted and then they saw you on someone else's blog, they're slowly generating this perception of you as an expert, as valuable, as an authority. And then when they see your promotional post that is some kind of a sale you're running, they're way more likely to say, well, why don't I go check this out? So the percent of content then is roughly 20 to 30% of your content should be self-promotional. If you ever have more than 30% self-promotional content, that's too high. Second, with social media, another reason for posting useful content is that the truth is people are very unlikely to ever share your promotional content. However,
why would they share it?
I mean, if you have a really great sale and they think that their friends are going to like it, then they might, but that's rare. However, if you post something like an interesting article, a useful piece of information,
something that's funny,
reshares on social media are actually a great way to drive up the traffic to your site, to drive up the Google ratings of your site.
So like funny cat haircuts.
Absolutely. So if there is a link to your website, even if it's a shortened version of a link, Google's really smart about that. If there is a link to your website and that link gets shared in any social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, whatever, that drives up your Google ranking. So you're getting value in that sense, as in addition to the touches that you're getting in terms of sales.
Right.
So the next important piece of how to social media is you want to lean heavily on images.
Or video.
Video is fantastic. If all of your content is just text, then the generation of people now who are looking at the internet, they're very visual in nature and they want to see images.
Don't want to read.
They might want to read, but not on social media. They want to see images.
And funny cat haircuts.
So the more that it doesn't have to be cat. That's the interesting thing. So you could have a post that says the six documents your construction project shouldn't be without. And you can have another post.
That's not clickbait.
You could have another post that has an image with a bunch of spreadsheets on a table that the link next to the link, it says the six documents your project shouldn't be without. There's no funny cat picture going on. But studies have shown that you will get more clicks, more shares, more reads of the post that has the image. Even if it's, I mean, it shouldn't look low quality, it shouldn't look bad. But as long as it looks good, it doesn't have to be particularly interesting. The image alone will catch people's eye. Especially if you've got the image with your logo on it. So, absolutely. If you can utilize funny images, if you can utilize memes, the kids love memes.
Superheroes with your coworkers' faces,
Photoshopped in, yep. So, and I could do a whole episode about the meme and what it is and how it works. But ultimately, so that's another piece though. If you don't understand memes, don't try to use them. Don't do it, because the people who speak that language are generally fairly critical of the other people who try to speak that language. So if you swim in that water, if you regularly post memes to your friends, by all means, use it in social media.
I just speak exclusively in emoji.
That would be an interesting language concept.
Mostly just peach emoji.
An eggplant?
No.
Just peaches.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
But Sir Mix-a-Lot?
I don't know if you want me to cut that out of the episode or not. It is the social media episode. It's probably fair.
Yes. Okay.
Probably fair. If you've made it this far, you're probably not offended by Jason's reference to the peach emoji. And if you're confused by why that's funny,
Don't Google it.
Don't Google it. So, moving right along.
Okay. So, one of the challenges I've had with social media is just trying to keep up with it, because it feels like the times when I am posting something are the times when other people aren't listening.
Absolutely. So, there are a lot of good reasons to implement scheduling of your social media. And you're right, that's one of them, is how do I post things when I want to post them, or when they're most valid, and I don't even know the answer to that, right? Sometimes we don't even know what time of day is best.
So, for example, I'm most creative, say, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are consuming content at 11 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disconnect there, right?
Absolutely.
11 o'clock is when I am the busiest.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another bonus to scheduling your content is that you can spend an entire afternoon and schedule things for the whole next 2 weeks, mm-hmm. instead of having to... if you are most comfortable interacting in bits and pieces like that, that's great. But for some people, that's a lot. So to be able to just schedule everything out all at once and then come back 2 weeks later and do it again.
And you still have the ability to redact those posts, pull mm-hmm. them down, even after you made it, because I had a whole series of posts about Mario Kart, and now I can't post it.
No.
I can't post
no.
it now.
No.
I gotta pull that down.
No, Mario Kart.
But through scheduling, I was able to correct that.
So not true. So there are a couple of tools you can use for that. If you're using a WordPress blog, which is a really common content management system that we use for blogging these days, there is a really great plugin that is free that is called WordPress Editorial Calendar. And you can use that to schedule out your blog content on a calendar, which I find really visually helpful. Without that calendar, you can still schedule your blog posts ahead of time. But with it, you can see everything on a calendar and drag it around and put it on the day where you want it. So that's one really useful thing. It's called WordPress Editorial Calendar. In addition, you can use a tool called Jetpack, which, if you're not already using Jetpack on your WordPress site, I highly recommend it. Jetpack does a lot of things, actually, and it's free. One of the things it will do is give you all of the information about who's visiting your site, where they're coming from, things like that. But another thing that it will do is you can log Jetpack into your social media accounts, and then it will automatically post to your social media when your blog goes live. And if you have a paid Jetpack account, you can have it actually schedule further posting out later. But for the free account, all it will do is when you hit publish on your blog post. So when I hit publish on a blog post, I automatically get a post on Twitter and a post on my LinkedIn account that promotes that blog post.
So it can push to multiple channels.
Right. However many you log it into, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for more than that, and if you're looking to pay for a tool, the absolute greatest tool you will find for working with scheduling your social media is a tool called CoSchedule. CoSchedule is fantastic. It will integrate with WordPress. It will log into all of your different social media accounts and do pretty much what I just said, where you can schedule out your blog posting, but you can do it within a team. So if we had CoSchedule, Jason could schedule things, Dakota could schedule things, I could schedule things, and we'd all be able to see what everyone else has scheduled, which is really nice. In addition, it's got a really cool tool on it called Requeue, where it will repost your social media posts on a schedule that you give it. So I could take my 20 best performing social media posts, and of course CoSchedule gives you access to the analytics to understand how your social media posts are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Take my best performing social media posts and put them into a category called evergreen, which is a word that we use to mean posts that are good all year round. They're good all the time. So a post about what you should be thankful for this Thanksgiving is not an evergreen post.
Company culture.
Company culture is evergreen. So I could put all that evergreen content into one big bucket, and then I could tell Requeue every Friday, post a random post from my evergreen bucket. Another nice thing that CoSchedule will do is it will post at the best time. Mm. You can tell it to find the best time of day to post it, and using its own analytics, because many, many people are using CoSchedule and it has access to all those analytics, it will decide the best time in the day. And then if you dump six things on that day and all marked with at the best time, it will actually spread them apart for you so that it doesn't just drop it all at once. Mm. So that's all really useful. It's smart. It's cool. It's CoSchedule. Go check it out. And that is how you schedule your blog posts and social media.
There's a lot of discussion about interacting on social media and making sure that, when we receive comments or feedback, that we address those things appropriately.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things to be aware of when you set up a social media account. If you decide to abandon it and neglect it, you need to go and close it down. Because if clients try to reach you via your social media account and they can't, that is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. Because then they perceive that you ignored them, that you didn't care about their feedback, when in fact maybe you haven't even looked at your social media for months and months on end.
But that's telling in and of itself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we respond to anything, whether it's positive or negative. Anytime someone reaches out via social media, they have reached out to you. And even if they're mad or upset about something, that's still an excellent opportunity to not only reach back to that person, but it's like a form of email that is public. Mm-hmm. So if I go and look at all of your posts on, I'm going to say Twitter because that's what I use the most. If I go and look at all of your posts on Twitter, I can see every time someone spoke to you, and I can see whether or not you responded to them. So if I can see a long history of your informative and calm responses, I know something about you.
So what are the social media review sites? Yelp?
Mm-hmm. Yelp, there's Google. Bless you. There are Yelp. There are Google reviews.
Mm-hmm. So in this section of the podcast, it's also valuable to talk about how we respond to those situations if we have complaints that are formally lodged at Yelp or Google Plus, Google reviews. It's important.
Yeah, not Google Plus. That's different.
Google reviews. It's important that we respond appropriately and consistently to those problems.
Absolutely.
And Amazon reviews, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So if we, as consumers, look at the comments that are left and we see a voice of consistent reason that responds to the person lodging the complaint, we'll quickly pick a side that we're on. So we need to make sure that when we're responding to complaints or those types of reviews, that we're open and forthcoming about the steps that we're taking to try to resolve the issue.
Absolutely. Be transparent. Talk clearly about what happened. Always recount what happened from your point of view in a way that doesn't in any way disrespect the privacy of the consumer. Mm-hmm. But tell what happened from your point of view. Explain how you want to remedy that, or whether you should. And understand that sometimes we hear people who say, well, there's no way I'm ever going to make that person happy, so I'm not going to respond. But the truth is, there is now an audience of you don't know how many people that are watching. So if you ignore it, then maybe that person will never be happy, but everyone else who sees it, that's the only side of the story that they will hear.
Yeah.
So we often also get a request that is, all I have is this one bad review. How do I get rid of it? How do I make it go away? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, there are really two major categories here, because if this is from a person you have never had dealings with, if this is a thing that is blatantly untrue, this is a thing that just showed up and you have no idea who it is and you don't know what it's all about, you might be able to get that taken down. But if this is a customer who's unhappy with you, even if you don't agree 100% with their recounting of events, you're probably not ever going to get that taken down. Mm. One way you can respond to it is to run some kind of a promotion with your customers who are happy with you to go and post and basically just flush out that review. Because if you have 50 good reviews and one bad review, that bad review has a lot less weight.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that we suggest you deal with that is just run some kind of a promotion that incentivizes your clients to go and post. give them some small discount, give them a coffee cup, give them something. For posting reviews, I'd make it clear that that incentive is whether it's a good review or a bad review, just to keep things nice and
honest.
But that is, in my opinion, the best way to deal with bad reviews.
So how do we deal with engagement? How do you get the most out of social media and what it has to offer?
Well, so engaging with people on social media, the first group is obviously your current clients. You want to, anyone who is a current or previous client, link with them, because that they will likely follow you back. You'll likely get positive response from them, hopefully. And so you want to, right off the bat, engage with those people. You can post directly to them in ways that, communicate with them. But again, also then other people will see those communications happening.
So any endorsements you get from your clients that are happy, word of mouth is really the best way to bring on clients like the ones that you currently have.
Absolutely. You can also engage with prospective clients.
Following.
So, yeah, absolutely. We follow all kinds of companies that we would love to work with who we aren't currently working with. So you can find and follow people who you aren't working with yet and learn more about their culture, learn more about who they are. Again, for us, it's very business to business, but you know, you'd be careful with following private people as opposed to organizations, but it can be okay.
You can interact when they have successes.
Absolutely. You can interact with them and almost build a relationship prior to ever having a business relationship with them. You can engage with influencers, people who, again, this can be industry people, so maybe it's architects or people who are, again, kind of adjacent. These could also be anyone who kind of has a name, who has a lot of followers. Anyone who is really nailing it with social media, if you interact with them in ways, people who are perceived as experts, the more that you interact with those people, the more that other people will see that happening and possibly follow you. Journalists. We can engage with journalists on social media. Often journalists find sources for their stories on social media. So all the time I see journalists who say, if you're a woman in a position of power in the construction industry, I'm writing an article about it and I'd love to know your thoughts. Let me know. And when you can engage with those people and you can get quoted in their stories, that's fantastic for your image, because now you sound like an authority. You sound like someone who knows what they're talking about. The more you get quoted in any kind of articles, that's always good for you.
And more, it's easier to interact with people who have a national presence.
Absolutely.
In journalism.
Absolutely. So that's great for your business, and it's an opportunity that without social media you wouldn't have. They would never know where to find you or how to hear. You would never know how to get in touch with
you
them.
You wouldn't have a voice.
You wouldn't have a voice. Finally, we can use hashtags for engagement and to reach people we wouldn't otherwise reach.
But it takes a lot of work to make a hashtag, right?
Well, so making hashtags is not generally going to get you anywhere. Making hashtags is a good way to make a commentary about what you're posting. But the way that we use hashtags to engage with people is to watch what hashtags are trending and then use those hashtags. So, unfortunately, Mario Kart is trending right now. So, anyone who posts a post with hashtag Mario Kart, for better or worse, is going to be heard by many, many more people than if you post my dog is awesome.
Right.
So, in the same way, there are often hashtags that trend. See, so as a business, you should not touch the Mario Kart trend. However, you, as a business, there is Monday Motivation is a hashtag that will trend pretty reliably every Monday. So if you see that that's trending, and then you post your ideas about Monday Motivation, this could be a great place to post something internal, something about your team, how your team has a huddle every Monday morning, or how your team goes out for coffee together every Monday. Hashtag Monday Motivation. There are people, anytime a hashtag is trending, there are some number of people who will watch that hashtag, who will look at what is posted with that hashtag attached to it.
They need motivation on Mondays.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you'll reach people that way. So if you watch those hashtags and use them appropriately, you can reach new people that way that you would never have otherwise reached. Mm-hmm.
So if we want to reach people, we always have the opportunity to throw money at a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So on many different social media platforms, channels, you can do paid engagement, mm-hmm. where you give them money and they promote your content. This is controversial. Some companies swear by it. Some companies think it's a fantastic idea and it will get you a lot of business. I tend to fall on the other side. I tend to think that you should not really pay for your engagement, because what will happen is that tweet will show up in people's feed who don't follow you, and they generally don't want to see it. Generally, people are annoyed by promoted content, and in fact, I've actually just been watching on Twitter over the last 2 days, someone found out a way to set their Twitter account kind of against Twitter's
policy,
better judgment. Mm-hmm. They found an internal string that Twitter uses for promoted content, and they found out how to block that. Because if I want to on Twitter, I can block every mention of, say, Mario Kart.
Yes.
And I will not see any tweets that have those words in it.
Right.
So people found out how to use an internal string that gets attached to promoted messages to be able to never see promoted messages. And it is spreading across Twitter like wildfire.
I'm sure the advertisers wouldn't be happy with that.
I'm sure Twitter is going to fix it real quick.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's spreading like wildfire. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants to block promoted content. Yes. So that being said, it's my argument that you don't want to be in that set. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the give-give-take set. You want to be where people follow you because they consider your stuff to be valuable and worthwhile, not in the set where people have to see your post whether they like it or not.
So if we're okay with spending a little bit of money to get a better reach and we don't want to use paid engagement, what else do we do?
A really great way to do it is with contests and giveaways. So you can give away small things to anyone who engages with your content. You say that's sort of like our giveaway that we are still waiting to hear back on. Mm-hmm. That if you contact us and talk about our podcast, we'll give you a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do things like that. You can do different contests where you say, whoever can guess this thing wins this prize.
Yeah.
Or you can say, everyone who wants to enter, post your thoughts and we'll randomly pick one and you'll get this slightly bigger prize.
I put a post on LinkedIn recently about taking the kids to PAX, Penny Arcade Expo.
It's a video game conference.
And said, anybody who can name the costumes that the kids are dressed up in,
I'll buy you lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So little bits of incentive to get interaction is a good way to go.
Absolutely. Even down to, I had a post a long time ago where I said, if you can guess who these characters are in the picture, you get bonus points.
Mm-hmm.
And I got answer on that post.
For bonus points.
And I said, you get 25 arbitrary bonus points.
Yeah. So with all the conversation of social media, there's a lot of data that comes out of it. So how can we know what's working and what's not?
So analytics is another really complex discussion. So this, much like SEO and keywords, you could really devote multiple episodes to analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And analytics can be extremely overwhelming, especially to a new user of all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than kind of go through everything, I think the best way to talk about this in the podcast is just talk about what, of all of those facts that all of these tools can spit back at you, what do you really want or need to know?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the first and foremost is, how many hits do you get?
Mm-hmm.
So if this is your blog.
What is a hit?
So if this is your blog, mm-hmm. how many people opened that page up? How many people looked at that page? And that is your number of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And your number of hits is a really easy to understand, easy to think about idea. Did 2 people look? Did 20 people look? Did 1,000 people look? So looking at your hits is not only good for understanding how much do people care what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
but also how's my setup doing? Mm-hmm. Because if you should be lucky enough that you get to the point where you're turning a lot of hits on a regular basis, you might need to upgrade your server so that you can be able to take all those hits.
Right.
So hits are important and pretty easy to understand. And it's also worth understanding when I made certain social media posts, and this is where things like co-schedule can come into play, where if you are posting social media posts on certain days, look at that with regard to your hits and understand, did certain social media posts contribute to more traffic on my blog?
Right.
Or how many people, and every different social media channel is a little bit different in terms of how it tracks what you would think of as the hits on your social media. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn calls it views, and it's if it scrolled through someone's feed. There are different, you know, you can look
different
at
metrics.
Likes, or how many people commented, or how many people clicked on the thing. So there are a lot of different ways to track how many people are seeing your posts, but that's basically... it's all basically hits.
Right.
So finally, or next, you have social media changes and following. So
what's change in following?
Change in following is how many people are following you. Mm-hmm. So, and the change is understanding, is that going up? Is it going down? Mm-hmm. So if I'm posting a lot of articles about roofs and I'm noticing that I'm picking up something like 2-3 followers a day, 5 followers a week, that's great. And then I start to post really political things and now I see a delta downward. Then that might be evidence that that's not what the people who follow me want to see. So watching those numbers of how many followers you have on any given platform is a really good way to understand how what you're doing is working. If I then post a bunch of stuff about siding and my following just flattens out, then maybe it means roofing is more
valid. It's the hot topic. I mean, roofing is hot. Am I right?
Well, I mean, I watched you.
It's literally hot.
I watched you up on the roof during your roofing days. It was pretty hot.
Okay.
Jason's uncomfortable.
I'm not uncomfortable. Y'all are uncomfortable. Referral traffic. So I'm just putting it out there. So how do we get more traffic?
So referral traffic is understanding when you look at your hits, where did it come from? Mm-hmm. Did it come from other blogs? Did it come from your social media posts? Where?
Google.
Where did people get to your... And referral traffic is really specifically your blog. This is your website. So yeah, Google, did it come from Google? And in fact, you can also see which keywords people searched. Mm. So a lot of blogs will have every couple of months or so a roundup where they'll address all the weird search terms people use to get to their site. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if I have a blog about... our blog is really about business development. Mm-hmm. And so if I saw keywords like arcade or business development are what a lot of people are searching on Google and ultimately coming to our site, that makes sense. If I see someone searches, let's see, I have a post with a few references to Wonder Woman. So if I see something like who would win in a fight between Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman, and that somehow brought someone to our site.
It would be arcade.
I don't know. Wonder Woman is a goddess, Jason. She's a goddess.
She's a god.
We're awesome, but I don't know. I think Wonder Woman might...
get in line.
She might be able to beat us.
So, keywords.
Yeah, and then so then the other thing to pay attention to, so that kind of is a conversation about keywords.
Right.
What is your ranking for those keywords? So, if you looked
up... this is back to SEO.
So, if you looked up business development and... our site, you would find that I'm sure we don't rank in the first 5 worldwide results for business development. So we have different rankings for different keywords, and this is where this gets very mathy. But ultimately, there are keywords that have more value than others. So understanding how valuable is a keyword and how high do I rank in that keyword. So for example, you might be able to rank really, really high in the keyword working in control because that's one of our products. But working in control is going to be a low-value keyword mm-hmm. because it's not something people are currently Googling worldwide a lot, whereas right. business development is something a lot of people probably Google a lot. Mm-hmm. So there's the value of the keyword and then where you rank. And your best goal is to try to kind of get both of those meters as high as possible at the same time, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
It's like cook, serve, delicious.
It's not like cook, serve, delicious. Cook, serve, delicious is different. There aren't meters in that. It's like Cooking Mama.
It's like Cooking Mama.
on the Nintendo DS, mm-hmm. which is a reference that likely zero people will understand.
Right.
But we ought to stay true to our video game.
See, we prefer to hashtag Cooking Mama instead of Mario Kart.
Oh, God.
Yes. There we go. So that's everything you need to know in a bite-sized package.
101.
About social media. That's part two of the nailing it social media mm-hmm. leg of our trip.
And I talked only briefly about podcasting because podcasting really is its own animal in terms of how you promote that and how you get that out there. But that is something that we might do an episode one day on. And also, if you want more information about that, you're welcome to give us a call because it's something that we're happy to help with.
You know a lot of things about a lot of things, don't you?
I mean...
Not no. All right.
So...
Check us out.
You can find us on the internets.
Friendster.
We're not on Friendster. It's just MySpace.
Google Plus.
We're not on Google Plus. I'm on Google Plus. We're not on Google Plus.
You can't get out. It's like Facebook. You can't get off of Facebook.
Don't look at me on Google Plus. That's not ideal. So you can find our web. We don't have a jetpack for this episode. We haven't been doing jetpacks since we got back on.
Okay.
What's the jetpack? So the jetpack is...
What's the giveaway?
The jetpack is if you make it all the way through the show and you contact us with one of our jetpack code words...
Jetpack.
That's how you get a free t-shirt.
Right.
So what's a jetpack? Oh, God, is it Mario Kart? I think it's Mario Kart.
Okay.
You can find us on the internet at www.thecriticalpathwithjason... No.
Oh, yes!
www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. You can find our website at www.arcadewayfinding.com or Google us because apparently our SEO is toit.
It's on toit.
That's not a thing.
You can hit me up. I'm toit on LinkedIn.
You're not. You're Jason M. Sturgeon on
Ooh.
LinkedIn.
Ooh.
Oof. And stay tuned for outtakes.
There are plenty. Jetpack is hashtag
I'm thinking
the one that does the
it's the little people that does the naughty thinking. It's from our 4-year-old nephew who's now 5. He was 4 when he said it. I'm thinking.
Jetpack is Birdo is the best. That's spelled B-I-R-D-O.
Birdo. That's like literally nobody knows who Birdo is. I mean, I hope that's not true. I hope they know who Birdo is.
Okay. Birdo is the best.
Send us a GIF of Birdo.
A GIF.
It's not a GIF.
I bought you this nice GIF.
It's a GIF, okay?
It's a birthday GIF.
I'm done with you.